Oh, hey, it's The Great Debates.
What's up?
What's up? We've got some very special guests today.
You guys want to say
hello?
Hi?
Ben and Kate are back today.
Ben and Kate are back in the Great Debates studios.
Yes.
Junior Debates
was one of the most popular debates we had last year. We brought them back. My niece and nephew, Kate and Ben, are here. It's going to be awesome. Guys, how are you doing?
You know, we're doing pretty good. You know, taking school vacation week out here.
Nice.
We were skiing a couple days. We came up here, lounged outside of the pool.
Awesome.
Man, that sounds like a great California vacation.
Not the best skiing days because most of us were sick for the whole time.
We did have a little sickness epidemic go around, but we are okay.
All right.
Everyone survived.
I'm glad you guys made it. What a harrowing experience it's been already.
Guys, can we have some debate?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
we usually
story, guys.
I'd like to save the chit-chat here on The Great Debates. Let's do a little debating.
Okay, what do we got? What's the topic?
I have a topic, and we're going to split up into some teams here. Healy and Ben are going to take the pro on this topic that I'm about to introduce, and Dave and Kate are going to take the con.
Got it.
And the pro, and you guys can decide who delivers the opening statement, the topic is sushi is gross.
Okay, I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. I'm going to give the opening statement to Ben.
Wow.
All right. Well, if you think about the way you are eating this, fish is being filleted, and you are eating it raw right out of the ocean where everything goes to the bathroom, and it is disgusting. I personally would not like to eat sushi out of the ocean because of this.
Wow. That's a great point. Kate, do you want to counter?
Yes. Well, you're not eating the outside of the fish. You're eating the inside of the fish that it is not exposed to the water. So,
such a great point. And I got to jump in here. I mean, Ben, surely you're eating vegetables that come from the ground, which is full of dirt and grossness and garbage. It's not like when you eat a potato or a carrot, you're not eating the dirt that comes with it. Just as with a fish, yes, certainly everything goes to the bathroom in the ocean, but it's not like you're eating that stuff when you eat a fish.
I could jump in here. The fact that you're eating the inside of the fish doesn't make it any less gross. It makes it much grosser.
Interesting.
That's like you're eating the fish's guts and muscles and innards.
Well, would you like to eat the fish's scales?
Yeah,
or
Healy.
I don't want to eat any
its
of
tail?
That. I'm going to take a whole new track here.
Okay.
I think Ben has launched a great attack that you guys have failed to rebut. But it's also gross because, contrary to the popular saying, there aren't an infinite fish in the sea. We're running out of fish. And it's gross and selfish to be eating all the fish. When you go out to sushi, you're having yellowtail, tuna. So you're probably a little salmon. You're having several different kinds of fish, and those fish are gone forever.
Kate, let me explain what's going on here, because I know Healy very well. We're used to debating each other all the time. This is a classic Healy move, is to try to expand the definition of what's going on. So he thinks he's doing this clever thing by saying, oh, it's gross in a selfish way, in an environmental way. Everyone knows that's not what gross means. We're talking about, does it taste good? Is it yucky? Or is it awesome? And it's awesome.
Oh, put it this way.
There's a reason that millions and billions of people crave sushi on a regular basis. To paraphrase whoever said it originally, millions of people can't be wrong. There's
millions
a reason
and millions
that
of people,
it's so expensive
millions
and
of,
desired.
Millions and millions of people take a poop every day, and that is gross. We can agree.
And there's a reason that we do that in private. There's a reason that people don't pay $60 a poop to go and take a poop. It's because it's a private thing.
First of all, I think seeing other people eat sushi is gross. They don't know how to do it. They're slopping wet chunks of fish in their mouth. That is gross, just in the sense of yucky, as you say.
There is a way to eat sushi.
That's right.
That may seem gross to people who don't know how to eat
That's
sushi.
That's exactly right, Healy. You're just ignorant about sushi eating.
I can't believe I'm hearing a snobbish attitude from a child imposed on me. I'm sorry I didn't have the experience of learning how to eat sushi properly, but I think it's gross to see it done.
First of all, how dare you call my niece snobbish? That's not what's going on. What she understands, what you lack to understand, you rube, is that eating sushi is in and of itself an art, just as making sushi is. How could you call something gross that has been elevated and perfected to such an art form, to such a... I mean, this is truly, of all the meals that are made in the world, I would say that sushi is one of the most craft-like. This is an actual skill that has been perfected for decades.
Ben, are you going to stand for this arrogance?
This is ridiculous, okay? When you take a bite of sushi,
it's amazing.
Just think about the life the fish has been living at the bottom of the ocean with all the disgusting sea life and plants that they're rubbing themselves on, picking up who knows how many diseases and bacteria, and then it comes straight fresh into your mouth without being cooked.
I mean, I can't believe that we're the ones being accused of being snobby.
I know.
What a human-centrist argument to make that the fish is the gross one. You're the one running around putting all different kinds of animals in your mouth, playing in the dirt all day long. You were sitting here earlier playing with my dog, letting her lick your face.
Donut's
gross.
Very cute.
Donut's very, I mean, donut, you got to play with donut.
Hey, humans have one, we came up with one civilizing thing. We might call it the foundation of human civilization, is gathering together to cook food. And when you just eat raw fish, you're at the level of a whale or a bear or a shark. There's nothing human about it.
I mean, one of humans' first accomplishments was fire.
Yes.
And if you're not using fire to the fullest, I don't think you're really eating right.
Yes.
Go ahead, Kate.
So, you know, sushi is not just raw fish that you're putting in your mouth.
Thank you.
Sushi is... it is raw fish, but it is very delicious. It is wrapped in, seaweed.
It's wrapped in the crap at the bottom of the sea. That's what I tell you it's wrapped in.
It's called seaweed. It's wrapped in weed.
Yeah, actually, that's not true. But.
Yeah, I mean, that you understand that's just a name, right? And that doesn't have anything to do with how healthy or tasty it is.
It's a name that accurately describes what this garbage plant
just
that grows.
Just like lawn weeds that grow at the bottom of the sea.
Prospers with seaweed.
I'll tell you what, if lawn weeds tasted as good, if you wrap sushi in lawn weeds and they tasted as good as they do in seaweed, I wouldn't mind eating them. And I wouldn't be so snobbish as to say that I'm not going to eat it just because it's named seaweed. Kate, you know what I don't think they understand? It's just how damn tasty sushi is. When you bite into a fresh piece of salmon sushi, what does that feel like? Tell them.
It is so good.
Yes.
It is answering a call.
Oh,
it is
so
just
well
amazing.
Put. Yes, Kate, that's right. When you, we're gonna have sushi later today, me and Kate.
I'm already planning this.
Exactly.
I'm happy with my chicken teriyaki.
Chicken teriyaki sounds good.
Hey, you know what? Both things can be not gross. And I wouldn't sit here and say chicken teriyaki's gross. I wouldn't be snobbish and say that just because you want chicken teriyaki, that's a gross food. Look, I'm gonna try to get close to wrapping this up on a closing statement for the con. Kate, feel free to jump in. Is sushi gross just because it's fish swim around in the sea where there's some dirty stuff? No, in fact, our oceans are one of our most beautiful, natural... Healy, you've gone on for hours on end in past podcasts about the mysteries of the deep and the beauties of the sea. Are we going to suddenly reverse course and say that just because that's where these fish spend most of their time, that they're suddenly disgusting? By the way, a lot of the sushi we eat... farm-raised, protected environment, man-made lakes, pristine waters. Most important thing, sushi is delicious. It's not gross at all. Kate, anything to add?
Well, really, the thing is, I can't tell anyone if they think that that sushi is good or not. But if I were to argue about it, I would say... sushi is one of my favorite foods.
What a great point that you guys are here. To argue that sushi is gross is to basically say, like, no, we know what tastes good. We're the arbiters of literally good taste because we have superior taste buds. We know what foods are delicious and which ones are gross. And, I mean, how can you stand on that moral ground and not... accuse yourselves of being snobbish. That's the end of our closing statement.
You guys, like a lot of aristocrats over the course of history, have evolved some sick and twisted pleasures. But to the rest of us normal guys, like me and Ben, we find it gross. Ben, close us out.
You think you said it all?
I think it's all been said.
Yeah. All right. Wow.
I had my point.
Sometimes the key to winning a debate is knowing when to end the debate.
Yeah.
I thought that was a spectacular debate.
I did too. Some points I didn't think were going to come up. The cleanliness of the ocean.
Here's the thing.
It isn't the cleanest place. No,
I'm
it's not.
I'm siding with Ben and Steve on this debate.
Wow.
And I'll tell you why. I feel like they set something up at the very beginning. The fish comes from a gross place. Uh-huh. It's not purified after it leaves that gross place. And then they didn't attempt to engage you guys on how good it tastes. It can still taste good, but be gross. And that's why I kind of... It made me think twice about the sushi dinner I had last night.
All right. Congrats, Ben.
Victory. Obviously. Well, I'm still going to enjoy my sushi dinner. This is not deterring me at all.
There you go, Kate. Amen
Kate's
to that.
Unconvinced. That's great.
See you at Kiwami.
Guys, are we in host chat?
I think we're into host chat.
Okay, we are going to play a little game that I've come up with that I want to challenge the Great Debates Juniors in. But first, I have a little... I thought this was kind of interesting. I learned an interesting fact.
Okay.
They've tallied up all the wealth in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All the money and houses and everything, all the things we count as wealth, if you added every American's wealth altogether... How much wealth is there in the whole United States? Does anybody want to guess? I learned the number today, and thought it was interesting.
I'm going to guess like $100 billion.
Okay.
I have no idea.
No idea?
I think it's more. I think it's going to be $40 trillion.
Whoa. Okay.
Dan, do you want to play?
I'll go with $41
trillion. 41 trillion.
Guys, this is right
box
style.
To I've got box good news for you.
This is very specific.
We're twice as wealthy as that, plus
Whoa.
Some. What it turns out all of America together has about $90 trillion.
Oh,
not too shabby,
good.
Huh?
Again, I was way low.
We did
as
great.
Usually in these crazy guessing games,
yeah.
Anytime I'm within an order of magnitude, I consider that a victory.
I think that was pretty good.
Yeah.
Guys, let's play a little game.
That was just host chat?
That was host chat. Now game. Now fun
what
and game.
What goes on in your daily life where you... Because here's what we knew. We knew we were going to be playing a game.
Yeah.
And you then, all of a sudden, you start talking about the wealth, total wealth of the United
that's
States.
That's not a game.
That's, uh-huh. To you, is just...
That's crazy talk.
Additional that's just, information?
That's host chat.
It's
that's
host
just
chat.
The joy of life, is
now
finding out facts
games.
That are unguessable.
Yeah.
All right.
Guys, we've had on the Great Debates, you guys have both probably heard, maybe even participated in the presidential challenge.
We have heard of that.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
I was starting to think that the presidential challenge was a little too easy.
Okay.
Oh, no.
We're going to play something a little bit more difficult today.
Great.
Okay.
We're going to play the restaurant manager challenge.
Wow.
Oh, I like this.
I like it.
This is a hard role to play.
Yeah.
You know, besides working with animals, if I were to do something else, I always wanted to make a crumble store. Because
no, tell us, what is a crumble? What is a crumble?
Well, a crumble is basically this. It is ice cream.
Yeah.
Fruit of whatever you want.
Like a blueberry or, peach.
Well, usually it's strawberry and raspberry.
Ooh, that sounds good.
And then any kind of cookie or brownie crumble on top.
Oh.
And I would say,
Kate's crumbles.
Yeah.
Kate's crumbles.
I'm opening
KK.
It up.
Kate, you're sitting on a gold mine.
I mean,
here.
I'm
got to open this thing.
I want to go now.
I'm looking at Mom and Dad saying, I'm sure there's some real estate in Needham.
Monetize.
A storefront. It's a great idea.
Crumble. Also, I've heard a lot about cupcakes. It seems we're saturated with that kind of stuff. I have not heard of crumbles.
We've seen cupcakes. We've seen cronuts. We've seen faux-nuts. We've seen cream puffs.
Kate's
what
crumbles.
About crumbles?
What about crumbles?
What about crumbles?
I tell you what, Kate, you get to go first in restaurant manager challenge. Here's the situation. You run a restaurant. It's lunchtime. It's about to hit with the full lunchtime crowd. At lunchtime at your restaurant, people love to get a cheeseburger and fries. They love to get a ham and cheese and fries.
And crumble.
A lot of the options come with fries.
Okay.
You go back to your kitchen, and your head cook says, look at this. And he shows you the bag of fries ready to go, and a cat has gotten in there. eaten some of the fries.
Damn that cat.
Climbed around on the fries. You kicked the cat out. You chased it out of the restaurant. But now orders are coming in for fries. What do you do?
Gonna have to think about this.
While she's thinking, what is the cat's name? I think that might be
the helpful. Cat's name is Solomon.
Okay, the cat's
Solomon.
Name is Solomon.
Interesting.
You've seen Solomon before. He lives in the alley.
Sure.
He's from the auto place behind the alley, and so you can't be too hard on him.
Ooh, that's
but, you
tough.
Know, he's a cat.
He had a rough
upbringing. He had a rough, he's from the streets.
He was an alley cat.
Yeah, he was an alley cat, and he got a chance at a sack of potatoes, and he took it.
Kate, what are we going to do, Kate?
Okay. I have a question. So where do these fries
while
come
you're asking,
from?
Just so you know, while you're asking me questions, more orders for fries are coming in.
Okay. Better do something about those unhappy customers.
What was your question?
Where did these fries come from? Like, are they, like, factory made? Or
you
are
guys,
like, or did we make
them? You buy a big sack from Idaho Fry Company, and then you fry them up in the restaurant, which takes about 3 minutes. So it's usually pretty simple to just scoop some out and fry them.
Well,
but now some of them have cat hair on them.
Yeah.
Well, I would see if we could get more fries from the, what was it?
Idaho Fry Company.
Uh-huh. Like, as soon as possible. Uh-huh. I see one problem with this.
Yeah.
If you are not near Idaho, and your restaurant is not in Idaho, you are gonna have a problem.
Yeah.
True.
Interesting.
Unless you got, like, the super fast, you know, less than one day shipping.
Okay, well, you call them, you call up Idaho Fry, and they say, we can get you some fries in 1 hour.
Wow. Mm.
Whoa.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I would say yes.
You just wait it out. Yeah.
You're just kind of like.
But the people that have already ordered fries and are waiting for their food, what do you do?
You know, people are going to start leaving.
I would give them the rest of their order that did not contain fries.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would.
It's not an easy job, is it?
No, being a restaurant manager is hard.
I think
I might actually explain what happened.
Yes. I think that's the right answer.
Honesty is the best.
I think honesty, you
just
gotta
like front counter.
Yeah.
Be like,
because
you know
they should understand that I have no control. Because I just walked in and my cook said, "Look, there's a cat in the fries."
Yeah.
But would you go all the way with saying it was a cat? It was a cat named Solomon, or would you just be like, the fries are messed up?
Right. You could tell a white lie. You could say we ran out of fries.
Oh, that could cause some liability issues, though.
Interesting. No,
if you ran out of fries.
I would tell them the truth, because
always, hey, why do anything other than tell the truth?
It can't go any worse. If the fries are gone, then just, if the cat got into the fries, tell them a cat got into the fries.
It can't get any worse out
there. All right.
That's right.
That's
there you
a
go.
Good point.
Wow. Okay.
Kate, I support your approach, by the way.
Ben.
And keep in mind, like, Kate is more of a, like, in her, she's a crumble expert.
Yes.
And so
she's
throwing these
fries
and cheeseburgers at
it's harder.
It's a bit of a curveball.
You know?
Yeah.
Hopefully the skills from crumble transfer. I don't know. Maybe it's crumble specific. Ben, you're up.
All right.
It's dinner time. Your restaurant, which is called Ben's, is completely full. For some reason today, you just got slammed, and almost all the people are tourists from Norway who were dropped off on a big tour bus. They're having a great time. They're loving it. But the place is absolutely packed. There's not an empty seat in the house. And then in walks your best customer, and he says, "Hey, Ben! I got my family in town. We wanted to come on down to Ben's. There's six of us. Can you squeeze us in?"
What's the best friend's name, just so we know?
Franklin.
Franklin.
Yeah. Okay. My boy Franklin.
He's your best friend.
Did you plan that ahead of time that his name was Franklin?
I'm improvising.
All right, Franklin needs a table. What you gonna do?
All right, well, first, here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna look out back. I'm going to look for some tables, maybe the stray chair.
Okay.
We're going to see if we got anything for Franklin out there. If we do not have anything for Franklin out back, I'm going to look in my kitchen. And in my kitchen, I could try to seat him in my kitchen.
Oh,
chef's table. And
so, chef's table.
And then the kids can watch me make the food for him.
Brilliant.
It's a win-win situation.
That is a great solution, but let me tell you something. The health inspector, if he sees that, will bust you hard. That's very much against health rules.
Yeah. Forgot about but just, safety.
You know, I'm not saying, you tell me whether you want to do it or not, and then I'll tell you whether the health inspector shows up.
Is the health inspector Larry the Cable Guy health inspector, or is it a different inspector?
Yeah. Okay.
It's a different guy?
Yeah, all right. So do you take knowing that the health inspector could show up at any time and hit you with a massive fine for letting Franklin eat in the kitchen, do you...
You know what, I think if Franklin has been a great paying customer for all these years of this great restaurant, I'm going to let him sit in the kitchen, and if the health inspector comes and I got to pay a fine, so be it, but I'm going to keep Franklin as my friend.
Well, then who's going to roll
the right answer?
And did the health inspector show up?
Guys, he didn't.
Yes!
He got away with it.
And did Franklin like the meal?
Franklin had a great time. He loved it. The only problem is now he always wants to eat in the kitchen.
No, that is a problem.
Which, you know, whatever.
Might what a great game, Heels.
Ooh, that was fun, huh?
You guys did really well on that game, I thought.
Should we have another debate?
I think we should do another debate. Yeah. I've got a topic, and this time I'm going to have the senior debaters sit on the sidelines until called for by the junior debaters. On this topic, Kate, I would like you to take the pro, if that's okay.
Okay.
Ben, you're going to take the con, so Kate will start. And the topic up for debate is, a day at the amusement park is a well-spent vacation day.
Okay. So, if you're going to an amusement park on vacation, you know, you plan that day at like as your vacation, or at least I think so. And really, like, that's all you want to do when you get there. And I love roller coasters and rides, so I'm looking forward to getting to or on a ride like the day I get to my arrival place.
See, now here's the problem with amusement parks and theme parks. You are going to get there, you're going to have all this great food, or this junky ice cream, cotton candy, fries, burgers, pizza, whatever you want.
You don't have to.
You're going
to
get on these swirly, twisting, turning, upside down rides, and you're going to lose your lunch. And you paid good money. You paid good taxpayer money for your great junk food. And now you just threw it up. What are you going to do?
Is Kate paying taxes as a point? I'm just curious.
As long as you enjoyed the ride, if you threw up, it really doesn't matter.
But no.
As long as you enjoyed the taste of the food when you ate it, why do you care if it stays in your stomach?
Your whole family went on the ride. They all threw up. They threw up on the guy in front of them. The guy in front of them is disgusted. He's going to sue you, and now the day is ruined. What do you see?
Well, now...
Healy, you want to jump in? Okay, Kate's team here.
Okay, I think throwing up is a pretty rare amusement park experience. That's like one in 500 times.
I didn't throw up when I...
And even that is kind of fun, you know, for the story later. And you still got to enjoy the junk food on the way down. So I don't think that's a big downside of amusement parks myself. I mean, also, like, just being in that environment, seeing people go on rides, hearing the cheers and the screams, that's all fun. Ugh.
I have another point.
Yes.
See, another bad thing about amusement parks is the lines and the walking.
Yes.
See, the lines can be up to 2 hours long, and you're waiting in line for 2 hours just to get on a five-minute ride. And, you got to walk 5.5 miles just to get to the next, you know, zone or ride at the amusement park. And by then, you're just tired.
Actually, most amusement park rides are close together. Like, you don't have... It's not like you're walking from one amusement park to another. You're walking from one ride to another. It's not that far away. And the alternative to waiting in a long line is get the line cutter pass. If there is one.
But see, the line cutter pass is not exactly cheap.
Here's
another problem. If you don't have, you're trying to have a vacation on a budget, you want to have fun, but you don't have the line cutter pass, you're not exactly going to get the maximum amount of time that you might want.
So, Ben, where do you recommend instead for a vacation?
You know, I might recommend, you know, a hike or a day at the beach. You can just enjoy nature. You can chill at the beach.
But
you know?
Exactly.
What if you went to this place to go to an amusement park ride? And, I mean, to go to an amusement park and you... And really, it's not, you don't have any free time. Like, you just went there for a few days to have fun, and if you wait in a line, you really don't care as long as you get on the ride.
See, now, if it was me, I'd just say, you know what, that didn't work out, even though we planned it, it's okay. You know, this town is beautiful, we can do so many other things here, we're gonna have a great time anyway.
Great point. Ben doesn't need my help here. I'm on his team, but, I mean, this guy's just cleaning up.
I don't think Kate really needs my help. She's made a strong case for amusement parks. They're super fun. You get to go on a ride. The joy and pleasure of going on a ride.
Also, you are very, very... You get very aggravated if there is a line, a wait, something wrong.
See, no, so, I think most people would do that.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Kate, that if that happens...
And if you start complaining, you're going to make it worse for yourself. Like, you don't... If you're going to wait in line, you might as well not complain. You might as well just wait, because then you won't have to listen to yourself complain.
Hey, great attitude once you're on the line. Good I wish everybody took your advice, but the reality is, if I could just say... Oh, Healy, you got something?
I was just going to say, good things come to those who wait. Everyone knows that.
Sure. But what I was going to say is, the problem is, not everyone has taken Kate's advice. And when you're in these lines...
Well, that's too bad for them.
Well, but here's why it affects you, is because if you're in line and you're trying to... You're calmly meditating, you're practicing your transcendental meditation while you're online and you're breathing and you're doing your yoga and you're finding constructive and calming ways to pass the time.
Or you could just be on your phone.
Or you could be on your phone, you're checking your email, you're getting stuff done.
Doesn't have to be Pokemon. That.
You're catching
deep.
Pokemons, you're on Spotify.
You're doing your words with friends.
You're doing your words with friends. Anyway, whatever you're doing, the point is... Everyone around you, there's going to be screaming babies. There's parents who are yelling at their kids. Hey, Sandra, we're up here. That's the whole amusement park thing.
Let me throw
this
at you.
It's gross. It's people shouting at each other. They say Disneyland's
it's
the happiest place on earth.
Fun.
Every time I go, people are crying.
It's the most disgusting place on earth. I'll tell you that.
I want my funnel cake. Mom!
Okay, as usual, you're looking through the negative, like, disgusting
also,
filter you put over your eyes.
Also, most of the shouting is joyous screaming.
Joyous screaming.
When I'm on a roller coaster, I scream because I'm having fun, not because I feel like I'm going to throw up and this is terrible.
Sure, I'm going to go even further, Kate. I think the line is kind of fun. The people in front, where are you from? We're from Texas. We came in yesterday. I got my girls here. We're having a fun weekend.
Flawless Texas
accent.
Have
you been over on the Roaring Rapids
yet? That's a great accent, by the way.
Have you been to Splash Mountain? It's really fun. I had a great time. It was awesome. We all got soaked. So make sure you go in the back of the car. You don't want to get soaked. The line is half the fun.
You're describing an interaction that's never happened at any amusement park. I'm not trying to look through the negative lens of humanity.
But you are.
But I'll tell you why. Because I believe an amusement park is itself that lens. I believe that an amusement park creates situations where families and children and parents get stressed out. You're outside. You're waiting in line. You got to get the food. Everything's expensive. It's hurried. It's annoying. It's a lot of waiting for short bursts of pleasure. It's a lot of commerce and food and sweat and
another
point here.
Don't let these guys shout you down.
Happen to lose your family members. If you are a member of the family, you lose anybody in your family. You get lost between point A, point B. You're never going to find
that is like one in a million.
Because there is a million people there waiting in line, waiting everywhere, screaming.
You go to one of the ride attendants and you say, look, I lost my
family. You go to the ride attendants and you say, hey, can you help me? I've lost my family in a sea of a million people.
Hey, two cynical negative guys shouting down an idealistic young woman. Not a good look in 2017. Let's hear from Kate.
Look, an amusement park it's hustle and bustle, it's, you know, very active, but that's all part of it. That all makes it so good. Like, if it was just silent, you know, a nice walk in the park.
That would be beautiful.
But it wouldn't be an amusement park. And part of the experience is the hustle and bustle, the screaming, the shouting. You know, it's not a bad thing. You are just looking at it the wrong way.
Wow.
Mm. It's possible.
I am looking at it through the lens of your average, everyday, impatient person that just wants to have fun with their family on a budget and in a set amount of time that they have before they have to go home.
Love it. I think that's our closing statement.
So here's what
then
I want to know.
Then you don't go to an amusement park. This is if you have time.
Oh, they can't help it.
What I want to know is, now, Ben, sometimes on the Great Debates, we have to take a position that we don't necessarily agree with in order to service the structure of the debate. Do you feel that it in your own heart that it's fun to go to an amusement park?
I do not feel that way, actually. Heartfeltly taking this position in not liking amusement parks.
And he Kate, actually, what about you?
I love amusement parks and roller coasters. And he actually passed up going to an amusement park for having waffles with an old person.
Great waffles. Let me just say,
with Gary.
Great waffles.
Great.
Let's go have waffles with Mr. Gary.
Mr. Gary, who's a friend of your grandparents, is a great dude.
No, listen, Gary's a great guy. Yeah. He's got some great stories.
The waffles
He's
really
were darn
good.
Exciting
person. Well, you were listening about how there's a stash of valuable post stamps in a basement. I was on a roller coaster.
And both experiences, you guys both had a good time.
Yeah.
Wow.
What
got a little
time.
Personal there.
What do we think here, bud?
Well, I'll tell you, I felt that there were two halves to this debate. Mm-hmm. And I felt in the first half, Ben had so many strong points that I thought he was running away with it.
He did.
And then in the second half, I felt that Kate really brought the pain and made some great points also. So I kind of can't decide.
I think what we're dancing around here is that Ben and Kate were the superior debaters, and Healy and I were just kind of resting our laurels.
I was
laurels.
Lackluster, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, yeah. I would agree with help. That completely.
Yeah. Guys, you
guys weren't much help.
That was heated.
That was very...
You guys
that was a debate.
By the way...
That was a debate.
Those waffles might have been worth missing an amusement park for.
If ever you're hungry for sushi and waffles, it's probably after that debate.
Fantastic waffles.
Ben, do you want to give a shout-out to the waffle
yeah.
place?
Go get them, Tiger in Larchmont Village. Yeah. Great
oh,
waffles.
Great go.
Place to go for waffles.
Put the syrup in the little cubes, and you got butter. It's great.
Oh, good nightmares. What a meal. Great
I
coffee,
go there
too.
Now.
Good coffee.
Yeah.
By the way, this was really not a debate about waffles.
No.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Just clearing things up.
Do you want to give a shout-out, a free plug to the amusement park you went to yesterday?
Well, Universal Studios uh-huh. is a very good amusement
man,
park.
Oh, man, yeah.
Right. They also spot. Just opened up a new ride called The Mummy, I think.
Uh-huh.
And I went on it, and it's extremely scary, which means it's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're hearing good things
glad
about The Mummy.
Glad you had fun
ride.
Throwing up.
I did not throw up, actually.
All right. Little too much vomit talk. We try to keep it family friendly here on the Great Debates, but you guys were amazing today.
Great job, guys.
Yeah.
We're really glad to
Ed
have
fun?
You on the show.
Yeah.
Well, guys, if you enjoyed Great Debates Junior, send us some email, tweet at us. We're Great Debates 69 everywhere. I'm sure Kate and Ben would love to hear what you thought of their
Always.
Arguments.
Looking for
and,
feedback.
That's right. Kate and Ben, special thanks to you guys for joining us.
No problem.
And hopefully there'll be a next time in the not too distant future. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed myself this episode, and we'll see you next week. Great Debates.
I just ran away from home. Now I'm going to Disneyland.
The Great Debates is produced by Mark Caracello. The theme song was composed by Christopher Knight. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King. And the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina.
I just robbed a grocery store. I'm going to Disneyland.